Let's turn in our Bibles for the final chapter of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 28, for our first New Testament reading. Acts chapter 28, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one, because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked, when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also, which had diseases in the island, came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. And after 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. And the landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. And from thence we fetched a compass and came to Rhegium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Puteoli, and there, where we found brethren and were desired to tarry with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, "Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you, and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain." And they said unto him, "We neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest, for as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against." And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed, after that Paul had spoken one word, "Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known, therefore, unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. All right, so we continue from chapter 27. What we were left with in chapter 27 was that the ship the bow of the ship had fastened in the sand. It was stuck. The rear of the ship, being beaten by the waves, had come apart. And there were pieces of wood all over. It was a shipwreck. And then that ship that had protected them from the storm all those days became their final means of getting to land, as those boards were used as life rafts by some of them and flotation devices by others so that they might get themselves to land. So they escaped all safe to land, exactly as the Lord had promised the Apostle Paul the night before in a dream, and those very words which he used to encourage the rest of the people on board ship with him, over 200 souls. Now we come to the island of Melita, which is where they find out that they have landed. Notice that they didn't know until they were informed of that by the inhabitants of the island. And why? Well, that's because they had no idea where they were, mostly. They knew that they had sounded and that they were getting close to land. They didn't know what land it was. They couldn't tell north from south, from east from west, because of the cloud cover and the rain. And so they were, as it were, sailing blind for many, many days, at least 14. And so we read that section from Connie Barnhausen last week that would have spoken to that despair. Well, notice that the Lord shows his kindness to them. And of course, let's remember this about this shipwreck and what's going on here. And that is, what is the Lord's main concern in this world? Believe me, people, it's not governments. It's not politics. It's not races. It's not all of those things by which men distract themselves. It's his church and the advancement of it. And so why did Paul save that ship that day? I'm sorry, why did the Lord save that ship that day? It was because of Paul and his preaching, not only on the island, but that he was to go to Rome, and that his testimony to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, might be proven to all those on board ship, and the church might remain and advance. That's what that shipwreck was about. That's why everyone survived. That's why Paul survived. And as it turns out, that's why there were elect folks on the island of Malta to whom the Lord sent a ship, not knowing where it was going, that a preacher might come and preach the gospel to them and many of them be saved. So let's understand the Lord's movements of providence from his perspective and not ours. This looks like a disaster to us. Certainly the owners of the ship thought it was a disaster. They lost their ship. They lost their lading, they lost the tackling, they lost everything. And yet, for the Lord and his kingdom, it was a gain. Let us learn to see things from the proper perspective then. All right, so then we note a few things here that are incidental but very helpful. So the inhabitants of the island, they are hospitable people. This is a natural thing. They're obviously not believers in the true God. They have much superstition that surrounds them. But they do know naturally how to be hospitable. It's cold, it's wet. when they see the ship, they go to where the ship has crashed. They help the folks ashore. They build a fire, and they help them to get warm. And this was, like Luke says, they showed us no little kindness. This was a great kindness on their part. We see the Apostle Paul. Something about Paul that we know is that Paul is not a layabout waiting to be served. Paul is out gathering sticks. He didn't wait for people to serve him as an apostle. No, he takes the part of a worker, of a servant. And so he goes and collects wood for the fire. In his collecting of the wood, as he lays the wood on the fire, there's a viper that comes out and attaches to his hand. We're reminded of the last chapter of the book of Mark. And although many say that that is not a part of Scripture, we believe that it is, and that it points to this passage here, that they shall be indeed bitten by snakes and not die and not killed by them. And so Paul is bitten by that viper, and the barbarians saw the venomous beast. And notice this in their speech. This is a very important thing. We hear things like this all the time. They say, surely he's a murderer. Though he had escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. We don't want to personify vengeance. We don't want to personify anything like that, beloved. We remember that these movements are the movements of God himself. Well, they say, vengeance suffereth not to live. So Paul shakes the snake off into the fire. He feels no harm. And after a period of time that they deemed sufficient, where they should have seen him fall down, they change their opinion of him. Oh, he's not a murderer. He's a god. Notice how swiftly superstitious people flow from one extreme to another, tossed about by their superstitions. Well, Paul does not allow them to remain in that superstition. We will understand from his time with Publius and others that no doubt he is preaching the word of God to them. So then, the governor of the island, a man named Publius, shows more hospitality. He lodged them at least 3 days, and then someone else took care of them for 3 months. It doesn't say who, but for 3 months they wintered on that island until a ship was found under the flag of Castor and Pollux to sail into Rome. Paul heals. He heals the sick on the island. But if we know anything about the Apostle Paul, I believe it a necessary inference from the passage to know that his ministry was not only a ministry of healing, that he was preaching to them as well. And so many on the island heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we imagine that many of them were saved, although Luke is nondescript about that. All right, so now we have the very mundane travel, right, from Alexandria to Miletus to Syracuse, from Syracuse to Regium to Puteoli, and then they stayed 7 days there. And then notice from there they went to the three taverns in Appii Forum, and the believers met them there. And when the believers met them there, they were much encouraged. That's what it says. Well, let's keep in mind that there were only a few people traveling with Paul, right? Aristarchus, Luke, and Paul, those three. At least that's all we know of. And so when they go to Appii Forum and the three taverns, when Paul saw the brethren that came out to meet them, he thanked God and took courage. Let's not think of Paul as some stoic or inert man. He had suffered under months and months of difficulty and trial. And so he took courage from the comfort and fellowship of the brethren. Let's try to follow his example in that we take courage and comfort from the fellowship of the brethren. All right, so then finally they came to Rome in verse 16 there, in keeping with what Paul had heard from the Lord. And so now Paul is excited, he's energized, he's finally come to Rome to preach. We will remember, won't we, from Philippians chapter 1, that many in Caesar's household not only had heard the gospel, but turned to the Lord. And we believe that was no doubt to the due to the grace of God through the preaching of the Apostle Paul. But the first thing that Paul does when he arrives at Rome, at least that Dr. Luke records, is that he called the Jews that were in Rome to him. Again, we will remember, won't we, from the book of Romans, chapters 9, 10, and 11, the great love, affection that the Apostle Paul had for those of his own country. And so he calls them to him, and he calls them as a matter of justice first. It is a matter of justice that they hear from him because he is accused of the Jews back in Jerusalem. And so he would like to know from them if there have been any communications. And notice what they say. Surprisingly, we have not heard letters or anything concerning thee from those in Jerusalem. Now that is an odd development, but I believe that it speaks to the speciousness of the charges that the Jews had raised against Paul in Jerusalem, and that they were too embarrassed perhaps on the one hand, or maybe too proud on the other, to send those charges ahead. But notice Paul's testimony. It is as consistent as any we have seen. He says, it is for the hope of Israel that I am here bound with this chain. And so although Paul is bound with a chain as a reminder of him being under arrest, still he has great liberty in the providence and care of God to preach the gospel to any that would come to him. So they set up a time to come together and to reason. And when they do, notice they appointed him a day in verse 23, and there came to him many to his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus. Notice both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets from morning until evening. Another point of consistency, right, is that the apostles preached Christ from the Old Testament over and again. We don't want to be, quote, New Testament Christians. We don't want to think that the Old Testament is passé because we have the New Testament. It wasn't passé for the preaching of the gospel in the first century, and it should not be passé for us either. So notice that he reasoned out of the prophets from morning until evening. Beloved, this is a great encouragement to us to be about the things of God and to know what's important. Let's talk first about those Jews that came to meet him. Did they not have other things to do? Did they not have responsibilities and callings and families to take care of? Yes. But even those that did not believe what Paul said stayed all day and heard him because he reasoned with them out of the scriptures. Some did believe, however. And so we note once again that it is indeed by the preaching of the word of God, that is, by the foolishness of preaching, that the Lord has ordained that his people should be drawn to him, to come to him and remain with him. So then, the Apostle Paul releases them with this one word. Very interesting, right? They agreed not among themselves. They departed after Paul had spoken this one word, and he quotes from Isaiah chapter 6. Saying, go to this people and say, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, seeing you shall see and not perceive, for the heart of this people is wax gross. Their hearts are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But notice that he didn't leave it there. What did he say beyond that? And this would be indeed that dagger of the Spirit of God that would draw many to Christ. Listen to what he said. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. What a dagger that must have been to them. And yet, beloved, if I can put on my preacher's hat for just a moment here, is not this same warning to us as the people of God? I remember a sermon I heard, I don't know, 40 years ago now. The minister was talking about the Pharisees that said to him, you know, there are 6 days in which men ought to be healed. Or you eat with tax collectors and sinners. And Christ said what to them? Well, you know, it's not the well that need the physician. It's the sick. And then his application of that was this, and I give it to you, it's an application. There is a great danger for any people that have been religious to hear and not hear, to see and not see. What did the Lord promise those Jews that day? That the word of God would be taken from them because they wouldn't hear, and it would be given to people who will hear. Whenever we hear the word of God, beloved, whenever we hear someone reason with us out of the scriptures, we should come prepared. We should come humble. We should come knowing the great privilege that that is, because if we deny that privilege, we have indeed the threatening promise of the Lord that he will take it from us and give it to others who will hear. And so verse 29, and when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. You can bet they did. That's one of those fly on the wall moments of Scripture. Oh, it would have been great to hear what they had to say that day. It would have been wondrous to see how the Spirit of God used that threatening of God to draw many to himself. Well, the Spirit of God has not determined that we needed to hear that. But what we have heard should be sufficient for us. That we come to hear the Word of God prepared. That we come hungry and humble to hear it. Because if we will not hear it, if our ears have waxed gross so that we will not hear, if our eyes have been closed, if our hearts are closed to the hearing of the Word of God, there will come a day when we will no longer hear. The Lord says in Psalm 32, seek the Lord while he may be found. And this puts us on notice, doesn't it? That the Lord will not always be found by us. So let us take advantage of those opportunities that we do have. With that then, let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.